Chapter 10. Marijuana smoke hung heavy and thick in the stuffy air of the dungeon. Cindy saw several unmasked Bluford students circling around the crowded dance floor. In the distance, she noticed a corridor which appeared to lead to another large room lined with tables.
"I just want to let some people know I'm here. I'll be right back," Bobby said, heading towards the hallway.
Before Cindy could protest, he darted into the crowd. Alone and uncomfortable, Cindy leaned against a wall on the edge of the dance floor. She wished she and Bobby could just leave, that they could watch movies with Jamie and Darcy. At a nearby table, she saw Dylan Baker from her English class. His glassy blue eyes bulged unnaturally from his otherwise expressionless face. He did not seem to notice her, or anything else for that matter. Suddenly, she felt a tap on her shoulder.
"If you want anything, girl, I get it for you," a voice said.
She turned and faced a guy wearing a wolf mask. As he spoke, she noticed his eyes moving up and down her body.
"No thanks," she said, crossing her arms on her chest.
She felt naked and embarrassed in his gaze.
"I'm here with someone," she added, hoping he would find someone else to stare at. "I don't see anyone with you." "Man, get away from my girl," Bobby said, coming up behind the stranger.
It's cool," the guy repeated, backing into the crowd. Bobby smiled.
"You see how good you look, Cinderella? Guys are checking you out."
Cindy hugged Bobby gratefully. She was glad he arrived when he did, but she still wanted to leave. Looking over at Dylan Baker, Cindy felt sick. In Mr. Mitchell's class, Dylan was a nice guy and a good student. Now, he was spaced out. As she watched, a couple of his friends sat down next to him. He looked as though he barely recognized them. Cindy turned to Bobby.
"I wish we could just go somewhere else, Bobby. This place bothers me." "Just 'cause some fool hit on you?" Bobby asked, with an edge to his voice. "That kid's got nothing to do with us, Cinderella. Don't let it ruin the party. Come on, let's dance."
"Bobby, everybody here is high," Cindy said. "I just wish..."
"Girl, I want to show you off," he demanded.
His eyes narrowed as he talked.
"I want the homies to see my girl."
"But..."
"Girl, drop it," he yelled, his nostrils flaring. "Man, if there's one thing I can't stand, it's a girl who steps out with me and takes my money, but then tries to stop me when I want to do something. It's all cool when they're getting bracelets and clothes, but ask a favor and they start giving static."
As Bobby spoke, his grip on Cindy's hand grew even tighter.
"Bobby, you're hurting me," Cindy said. "Don't push me, girl. It's gonna be your fault if I get mad and do something stupid," Bobby warned.
Then he dropped her hand as if it were an object that disgusted him and shouldered past her, knocking her into the corner of a nearby booth. Pain shot into her leg.
"You stay right here. I gotta use the bathroom. Don't move. Hear?" Bobby said.
Cindy nodded. As he disappeared in the crowd, she looked at the door. She wished she could just go home, but she knew better than to walk home alone at night in her revealing costume. Maybe she could catch a bus, she thought. Carefully, Cindy inched towards the door. She was stopped by another kid she did not know, who tried to make her dance with him. His face was wrapped in bandages like a mummy.
"Come on, girl, I know you know how to move," he said, grinding into her.
By the time she got past him, Bobby returned. She was afraid to tell him she was trying to leave.
"I told you to wait right here," Bobby yelled. "What, are you stupid or something?"
Angered and hurt by his words, Cindy turned towards Bobby and noticed he looked different. He was sweating profusely, and his eyes were wide and glassy like Dylan's. Cindy had seen the same look on Bobby's face the day he bruised her wrist at Bluford. Illuminated in the flashing light, he looked like a monstrous version of himself, like the figures in her drawings.
"I don't feel good," I need to go home, Cindy stammered, afraid to provoke him. Why are you messing with me? Bobby screamed, grabbing her shoulders. Strobe lights flashed over his head like lightning from an approaching storm. Watching in wide-eyed terror, Cindy was flooded with an awful realization. Drugs. Bobby must be using drugs. He had probably just used them in the bathroom. That explained his strange appearance and his violent mood swings. The power of that realization set off a chain reaction in Cindy's mind. Bobby had been lying. He'd been lying to her since the moment they first went out together, she realized. But worse, Cindy understood, was an even bigger lie. The one she had told herself. Jamie, Mrs. Davis, and Harold had been right all along. Bobby was trouble, and she had refused to listen. Bobby! Cindy yelled, staring into his twitching eyes. Let me go! Bobby shifted his hands to her neck, and his grip began to tighten around her throat. You just never listen, he growled. Bobby! She gasped, unable to breathe. Suddenly, Cindy heard a familiar voice. Get off her! Cindy glanced back to see Jamie rushing up next to her. In a blur, Jamie shoved Bobby, causing him to lose his grip on Cindy's neck. Just as quickly, Darcy, Cooper, and Tara were next to her. You all right? Darcy asked, putting her arm around Cindy. I'm okay, Cindy said, rubbing her neck. I just want to go home. That's why we came back, Jamie said. There was no way we were going to leave you here with him. I don't care what he says. Cindy turned towards Bobby. He shook his head and clumsily approached Jamie. I told you to stay out of this, Bobby said in a low, angry rasp. Cindy's staying right here with me. His voice became hoarser with each word. No, Bobby. I'm going home now, Cindy yelled, wondering what Bobby had taken in the bathroom. Maybe it was that new drug Raffi was pushing. Whatever it was seriously affecting Bobby. He was unsteady and his speech was slurred. Yeah, back off, Wallace, Cooper warned, stepping in between Jamie and Bobby. You ain't gonna hit any girls tonight. But as Cooper spoke, his expression changed from anger to concern. Hey, homie, you looking bad. As they watched, Bobby grabbed for a chair and then collapsed. The saliva that had been running from his mouth turned to vomit. Somebody screamed and a number of people panicked. I'm calling 911, Darcy said, rushing to find a phone. Frightened kids began scrambling out of the large front doors. Someone flicked on a bright switch and the entire room brightened. By the time the paramedics arrived, most of the kids had left the dungeon. Cindy sat with Jamie, Darcy, Cooper, and Tara, watching the medics put Bobby on a stretcher. He was unconscious, and Cindy could see the whites of his eyes peeking beneath his eyelids. Cindy gazed in shock at his body and the flashing red lights of the ambulance.
What happened here?
A paramedic asked. A Halloween party gone bad, real bad, Darcy replied. The emergency technician shook his head and slammed the doors, and within seconds, the ambulance pulled away. As it disappeared in the distance, Cindy began to cry softly, turning the bracelet Bobby had given her around and around with trembling fingers. Take it easy, Cindy, Jamie said, wiping the tears from her eyes. It'll be all right. Cindy, why don't Jamie and I get you home? You've had a long night, Darcy suggested. But what's going to happen to Bobby? Cindy asked.
Me and Tara will go to the hospital and check on him, Cooper chimed in. We'll call you when we learn something.
Okay, Cindy said. As they drove home, Jamie gave Cindy her jacket and sat in the back seat with her. Thanks for helping me tonight. I'm so sorry I put you through this, Cindy said. Cindy, we're your friends, Jamie said. This is what friends do for each other.
Just remember what you did for me last year.
I can't believe this happened, Cindy said, wiping her eyes. All this time, I thought Bobby had changed. And I know this sounds stupid, but he really made me feel special. Nobody ever made me feel that way before.
It doesn't sound stupid, Cindy, Darcy said. But you've got to learn that you are special, whether you're with a guy or not. When you need someone else to make you feel good about yourself, you're gonna get into trouble. It may sound like something off a corny TV show, but it's true. What you're looking for doesn't come from others. It comes from inside you.
Cindy wiped her eyes in silence. At Cindy's apartment, all three girls got out of the car together.
Thanks again, Cindy said. You two are the best.
Jamie and Darcy gave Cindy a hug, holding her for several minutes before letting her go. When they finally got ready to leave, all three girls had red, moist eyes. As soon as they left, Cindy quietly snuck into the apartment, grabbed the cordless phone, and went to her room. Her mother's bedroom door was closed, and Cindy was careful not to disturb her. Silently, she took off her costume, put on pajamas, and crawled into bed, replaying the evening's events in her mind. She could not shake the image of Bobby's unconscious body from her thoughts. It haunted her like a recurring nightmare. At 5 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. Cindy answered it with trembling hands.
Cindy, Jamie said, we just heard from Cooper. He's still at the hospital with the Wallace family. He said things looked bad for a while, but that Bobby's gonna be all right. His family's gonna put him in a drug rehab program.
Thanks, Jamie, Cindy sighed with relief.
Thank you for everything, she said before hanging up the phone.
Instantly, tears of relief poured from her eyes. Seconds later, Cindy heard a knock at her bedroom door.
Who's calling you at 5 in the morning? Her mother asked, sounding annoyed.
No one. It was a wrong number, Cindy replied, struggling to hide the emotion in her voice. Her mother opened the door and came into the dark bedroom.
Cindy, who were you just talking to?
Why do you care? Cindy said.
I'm not leaving this room until you tell me what's going on, her mother demanded, sitting at the foot of the bed.
Oh, so now you're suddenly going to try and play mom, Cindy answered bitterly.
She wanted to talk to her, but she couldn't hide the anger she felt. Anger at Bobby for lying to her, anger at Mom for ignoring her, anger at Raffy for betraying them both.
Just leave me alone. That's what you always do.
I don't know why I even bother. You know, I bumped into Mrs. Davis last night, and all she did is tell me how much you want to talk to me.
That old woman's got no sense. She should mind her own business instead of telling me how to raise my child.
There ain't no talking to you, her mother yelled and walked towards the door.
Mom!
Cindy turned towards her. She wanted to tell Mom everything that had happened, but she just could not say the words.
The anger in her chest was like a net holding the words back.
Still, she struggled against it.
Please, don't leave, she said, tears filling the corners of her eyes.
Her mother stopped at the bedroom doorway and turned around. For a second, the apartment was completely quiet. Her mother stood motionless and silent in the dim glow coming from a streetlight. It would be dawn soon.
Cindy tried to hide her emotions, but she was unable to suppress the tears that had begun slipping from her eyes.
What is it, baby? Her mother asked. Why are you crying?
Cindy looked directly at her mother. She didn't know where to begin, what words to say, or how to say them, but she couldn't hold back any longer.
Mom, this is just too much, Cindy said. I don't know how to tell you because I know you won't want to listen. But I'm not gonna lie. Not to you, myself, or anyone.
Not anymore, she said.
Why don't you start at the beginning? Her mother said, sitting down on the bed next to her daughter. I'm listening.
Cindy stared into her mother's eyes,
They seemed very tired, but sincere. It had been a long while since Cindy had seen such a look on her mother's face. Impulsively, Cindy grabbed her mother's hand and began to talk. First, she explained her relationship with Bobby and the Halloween party. Then she described how Bobby had hurt her wrist and tried to choke her, and how he had overdosed on drugs. She even mentioned how Mrs. Davis, Harold, and Jamie had tried to keep her away from Bobby. Her mother shook her head as Cindy recounted the details.
What were you doing with a boy like that? Can't you see he was no good for you? Her mother said.
Cindy rolled her eyes. Even though her mother meant well, Cindy could barely restrain her impulse to yell at her. She knew Mom was just as blind about Raffy as she had been about Bobby. The only difference, Cindy thought, was that Mom was still ignoring the truth.
You are just like me, Mom, she said. We're exactly the same.
Faint light from the approaching dawn was beginning to illuminate the small bedroom.
What are you saying?
Mom, I ignored the truth about Bobby because I was afraid. I didn't listen to my friends or to what my eyes were telling me because I didn't want to be alone. I wanted someone to love me, someone to care about me, someone to show me that I'm special, you know? The whole time he was lying to me and doing who knows what else, Cindy explained.
Raffy is just like Bobby, Mom. And you are just like me.
Her mother's jaw hung open as Cindy spoke. Her mother shook her head.
No, she said, her voice quivering. Raffy and I are
No, you're not, Cindy yelled. I bet Bobby got his drugs from Raffy.
What about the car and all the money? What about the fact that I saw Raffy outside the high school the other day? What do you think he's been selling to get all that cash?
Everyone in the neighborhood knows about Raffy, and so do you.
You just don't want to admit it. Face it, Mom, he's been lying to you, and you're letting him get away with it by lying to yourself.
The worst part about it is that we're suffering, Mom. Look at us. All we ever do is yell at each other.
I don't want to do that anymore, Cindy said, her heart pounding.
Cindy's mother sat still, staring off towards the morning light for a while.
The other day, Raffy asked me to hold a package for him while he's away. He wouldn't tell me what it was, but when I asked him about it, he got very upset, she said, tears in her eyes. I kept telling myself it was a present, but I don't know, Cindy. I don't know what to believe. I just thought we'd get married, but now I don't know.
Do you still have the package? Cindy asked excitedly. Suddenly, the phone rang, piercing the morning quiet. Cindy looked at the clock. It was 6:15.
Who could be calling this early? She asked.
Mom answered the phone.
Hello? Raffy, what's wrong? The police station? Now? Who?
Cindy knew immediately what was happening. The police had finally traced drugs to Raffy, and they had arrested him. She grabbed her mother's arm.
Hang up, Mom. Hang up.
Cindy, this is an emergency. Raffy is at the police station, she said.
He's been falsely accused of selling drugs. He wants me to get some money from his apartment and bail him out.
Mom, don't help him. He's a liar. Please, just hang up. He's no good.
Cindy's mother leaned back and looked to the ceiling.
Lord, give me strength, she said.
Hold on a minute, Raffy, she said into the phone and then turned towards her daughter.
Cindy, go to my room and look under my bed. Raffy's package is there.
Cindy rushed into the room and retrieved a brown paper sack.
Open the package, Mom directed.
Cindy ripped open the paper. Underneath was a layer of plastic, and beneath that, a white powdery substance that coated her sweaty finger.
Look!
Cindy's mother examined the package without a word. She wiped her eyes several times. Then, taking a deep breath, she picked up the phone and spoke calmly.
Raffy, I ain't coming for you, she said.
Me and my daughter are staying here. Take care of yourself. It seems like that's all you care about. Then she hung up the phone and dialed the police. I'm so sorry, baby, Mom said, her eyes swollen and bloodshot. She had just finished telling the police officer everything she knew about Raffi.
Yes, Raphael Whitaker has been under observation for months, the officer said, giving the package to his partner. We decided to move last night because we had two other overdoses yesterday with the same symptoms. Between that and evidence from Officer Ortiz at Bluford, we had all we needed to take Whitaker and his dealers off the street for a long time, he said as he walked out the door.
Cindy turned at the name Ortiz. Pedro had been an undercover police officer, Cindy realized. She shook her head in disbelief. All this time, the truth was right in front of me, but I was blind, Mom said when the officer left, her voice cracking. I've been a terrible mother. I've ignored you, I've hurt you, I've pushed you away. But baby, I love you, and I am so sorry. You're the most precious thing in my life, and I'm not gonna let no man get between us ever again. For several minutes, the two embraced each other in silence. Cindy's mind raced with questions about the future, questions about their family, and about Bobby, questions she could not answer. What's gonna happen, Mom? She finally asked. I don't know, baby. We got a lot to sort out. We don't have much money. It's gonna be hard, her mother said, blowing her nose. Mom was right, Cindy thought. The future was uncertain, and they had much work to do. But looking at her mother in the bright morning sunshine, Cindy thought for once that the work was not impossible. I think things are gonna get better around here, Mom said. I really do. I think so too, Mom. Just then, they heard a knock at the door. It's just me, a familiar voice said. I knew y'all had a long night and I thought you might like some breakfast. Cindy opened the door to see Mrs. Davis's wide smile greeting her. Harold stood behind her holding a large tray filled with eggs, bacon, and fried potatoes. Isn't it a glorious morning, child? Mrs. Davis beamed. It sure is, Grandma Rose, Cindy said, welcoming the two neighbors into the apartment. It sure is.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluford series of books, Someone to Love Me, by Anne Schraff and read by Shayna Walker. This audiobook was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.